You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
I say he's holy, amen? He's worthy. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I just love the presence of the Lord. Amen. It's just such a refreshing and such a healing in His presence. Amen. Hallelujah. Because when you cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, you can't be saying gloom, despair, and agony me on me at the same time. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Hallelujah. How many know there's power of life and death in the tongue?
Yes, there is.
Sometimes we speak to our own demise. Amen. We speak to our own pity party. We speak to our own sorrow sometimes. Vision says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. It's hard to sing a happy song and a sad song at the same time. Hallelujah. It's hard to lift up the name of Jesus and then to reflect on your problems all at the same time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's power in worship. There's power in our profession. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, last Sunday we talked, started out of the book of Leviticus, and I didn't get finished last Sunday, so I'm going to go on from there a little bit. Just something the Lord had dropped in my heart, something that I had been thinking about. We've been doing the parables on Wednesday night in our Bible study, and so I've enjoyed looking into the different parables and things such as that. And one of the parables we've been working on is the Great Feast, those who were bidden to the Great Feast. And remember that most of the time that when Jesus was directing a parable, he was directing a story which had hidden meanings to the Pharisees, the scribes, and the congregation of people that he was talking to at the time. Now, Jesus wasn't necessarily what we'd call a troublemaker, but trouble seemed to find him. Amen? Hallelujah. He wasn't just all about status quo. Hallelujah. And so, as I was reading the parable of the Great Feast, I mean, know that Jesus said that there was a supper made, and many were bidden to come to that supper. But they, with one accord, began to make excuse for why they couldn't attend this great supper. Now, custom tells us that when you were going to prepare a great supper like this or a great feast, there would have been two invitations that went out. The first invitation was kind of like a save the date. Everybody in here know what a save the date is? They didn't do save the date when I got married. You just sent out an invitation 2 weeks ahead, and if you could make it, you made it, and if you didn't. Now we send out a save the date about a year ahead. That's to let you know when the wedding date's going to be. And then about a month or so ahead of the wedding, then you get the actual invitation, tells you where and when to be there, you know, maybe what attire and what the menu is going to be. So it's kind of along the same line as a save the date and a wedding invitation. And so when they would send out an invitation, you would respond and say as to whether or not you were coming to the feast. And then the person who was preparing the feast would know how to prepare, how many to prepare for that feast. Kind of like church camp. We send out invitations and we tell them to come and they give us back an estimation of who's going to come. And then we start making preparations for the meal at hand. Amen. So when he actually sends them out to come to the feast or come to the great dinner, there's already been an invitation sent out and they've already accepted it. But then they began to make excuse as to why they cannot attend this supper. Hallelujah. And they began to make excuses. And I'm going to go to Leviticus chapter 21. Go ahead, Stephanie, and bring that up for me. Let's start there, and then we're going to jump back to this feast, and then we're going to jump a couple places. And I'm not sure where we're going to land. So says, speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed and their generations that hath any blemish. Now remember, we talked about this last week. Any blemish. Won't ask you to raise your hand, but some of you probably can identify with this. I can identify with this. I'll raise my hand. Let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach a blind man or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose or anything superfluous, or a man that is broken-footed or broken-handed, or crooked back, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And Moses told it unto Aaron and to his sons and to all the children of Israel. How many know there were qualifications for the priesthood? There are qualifications for those who could enter into the holy place and the most holy place. Under the Old Covenant, under the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus. And they said, if you had a blemish, or if you had a flaw, or if you had a disability, or if you had something that was going on, you couldn't enter into where the presence of God was and offer the bread of sacrifice and offer the showbread and be in the most holy place and be into the most holy place where the ark resided in the mercy seat. How many know that was for those people who did not have any flaw in their body? I mean, no, that pool of people probably was a very limited pool of people. Hallelujah. And so, in looking at this, this was the disqualifications for entering into the presence of the Lord. And as we read these things, we think, wow, man, that, you know, that looks kind of tight and looks kind of reserved, and you know that you couldn't have any flaw or you couldn't have any blemish. But as I began to look at the scriptures concerning Jesus and concerning these disqualifications, how many are glad that when Jesus comes along, he doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those who he calls. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so Isaiah tells us that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. Can you say amen this morning that at Calvary your blemishes were taken care of? Hallelujah. You are the healed of the Lord this morning. He was wounded for you. He was bruised for you. He took your iniquities. He took your blemishes. He took your flaws to the cross. And by his stripes, by his wounding, by his bruising, by his blemishes that they imposed on him, we are healed. Hebrews 4 says, seeing we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, hallelujah, that we can come boldly before the throne of God and receive grace and mercy, that he became what? He became our mercy seat, or our propitiation, hallelujah, because the veil of his flesh was rent and giving us access into a most holy place. Hallelujah. So can you say amen this morning that we now have access into that holy place and that most holy place because the veil of his flesh was rent for us? And I'm so glad this morning that it's not about my blemishes. It's not about my flaws. It's not about my disabilities. It's about his abilities to perform in me everything that he took care of at the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. So I got good news to you this morning. You guys got to save the date. You got an invitation to a great feast. Hallelujah. And see what happened when Jesus came along and he began to speak to the scribes and Pharisees. He said there was an invitation that went out. And you were invited to come to a great preparation, a great feast, a great marriage supper of the Lamb. You were invited to come to that. Hallelujah. He said, but they with one accord began to make excuse. How many know there were all kinds of excuses why they did not receive the message that Jesus had? Amen. Hallelujah. And so they were bidden to come to the feast, but they began to make excuses and did not come. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to reach all the way back to the book of Leviticus. And I want you to grab everyone who has a broken hand, a blemish, a broken foot, a crooked back, a flat nose, everybody whoever's ever had a flaw or a blemish. I want you to invite them to my supper. I want you to invite them to my table, because my table's not just set for those who have no flaws anymore. My table is set for whosoever will may come. Aren't you glad this morning that you're part of a whosoever will company? Whosoever will may come. Hallelujah. Without reviewing everything we talked about last Sunday, remember we mentioned Mephibosheth. And he was invited to come to the king's table. But Mephibosheth was crippled in his feet, the scripture says. And he was dropped while they were fleeing and while they run. His nurse dropped him. And he was, because of that, he was crippled in his feet. And so years later down the line, when King David invites him to come to the house, he wasn't sure if it was good news or bad news. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes when you're invited to the house, you're not always sure when you get there whether it's going to be good news or bad news. Well, I hope the only thing you ever receive out of this house is some good news. Because see, here's what I've come to find out is, it's about a covenant that was made a long time ago that didn't have anything to do with me. It was about a king cut a covenant with Jonathan and said, I will be true to your seed and you'll be true to my seed for the generations. I thank God that we serve a generational God today, that even he can look down into the loins of my generations. And if there be one that find they have some crippled feet or have some struggle in their walk and they need some help, I pray to God that covenant will reach back to them and say, come and sit at my table, because provision's been made for you a long time ago. There's a covenant. There's a place for you at my table. And he said, Mephibosheth, I want you to come and sit down. I want you to pull yourself up at my table. I want you to eat at my table. I want the linen tablecloth to cover your legs, to cover your shortcomings, to cover your disability. How many know the righteousness of God is the covering that covers us, that my righteousness was as filthy rags, but his righteousness covers me. And at the king's table, there's a place for me. And on the king's table, there's a feast of lamb and bread and wine. Hallelujah. I like my bread broken. I like my lamb finished. And I like my wine red. Hallelujah. How many know that's a picture of his death, his burial, and his resurrection? His body that was broken for me, the lamb of sacrifice that was given for me, his blood that was shed. Hallelujah. How many know it's what's on the table that'll heal you from your sickness and from your disease? You know, Pastor Shirley was already ministering this morning. Sometimes we got to look beyond past what we see right here and right now and begin to speak to ourselves, rather it be in the realm of healing, rather it be in the realm of encouragement. How many know sometimes you got to be your own encourager? Sometimes you got to get up in the morning and give yourself a talking to. Let the Holy Ghost do some talking into you. Hallelujah. And you got to encourage yourself. Yeah. Hallelujah. Mephibosheth falls down in front of him and says, I'm such a dead dog as I. Why have you called me? He said, because I'm a man of covenant. Aren't you glad this morning that our God is a God of covenant? Hallelujah. He cut a covenant with Abraham. He cut a covenant on the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it was sealed for us. And we have access now to the king's table, that we can come boldly before the throne of God and receive grace and mercy. Hallelujah. And so as I was looking this portion of scripture in Leviticus, I realized how Jesus took all of those things that were disqualified. And as he began to preach and teach in his ministry, he began to systematically and methodically go along and heal all of those things in the Old Testament that were disqualified. All of a sudden, Jesus, a new priesthood, a new kind of king and priest unto God, comes along, Melchizedek priesthood, who comes along with bread and wine in his hand, and he begins to restore everything that was broken and everything that was lost under the Levitical priesthood. under the Levitical covenant. And so what he does, we talked last Sunday about, it said if you were crippled or lame, you could not approach the holy place or the most holy place. If you were blind, you could not approach. Hallelujah. We talked last Sunday about the scripture of the impotent man who played by the pool for 38 years. 38 years is a long time if you've laid waiting for something. Now, if you're 38 years old, it's a moment in time. Amen? My daughter turns 28, I believe it is, on Monday night. Yeah, Monday. That means I must be older than 28. And it happened like that. However, if you're in need, 38 years is a long time to lay waiting. And he went through every program, and I'm trying not to re-preach everything I preached last Sunday, but how many know he tried all the programs? The system was you get somebody to carry you to the edge of the pool, and then when the water is stirred, you get to be the first one in the pool, and if you're the first one in the pool, you get the healing. You win the lottery for the day. That's the program, the self-help program he's been under for 38 years, and it's still not working. Jesus says to him, as Pastor Shirley was telling you this morning, Jesus deals with his will first and says, will you be made whole? And his response is, I have no man to put me in the water or to put me in the pool. If your confidence is in man this morning, you're going to spend a very long time laying, waiting on something to happen. I want to tell you the answer to the question is yes. Yes, I want to be made whole. Hallelujah. So whatever the system is you got to do to get there, to get the healing, you need to do it. Hallelujah. But he waits for a very long time. Jesus simply speaks to him and says, arise, take up your bed and walk. And because he does the healing on the Sabbath day, see, most of these things that Jesus restored from the book of Leviticus, all of those blemishes, all those broken hurts and flaws, Jesus restores them on the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. And so he comes along on the Sabbath day and he speaks to him and says, arise, take up your bed and walk. It wasn't the healing that so much got Jesus into trouble. As much as it was, he said, take up your bed and walk. Because that's works on the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. But what Jesus is saying to this man, there is not opportunity for you to go back or to return to that bed once you've been made whole, once you have been touched by the Master's hand. Do not return to the bed. Get rid of it. It's time to rise and walk and take up that bed. Don't give yourself opportunity to go back to that place of impotency. Hallelujah. And reside there. Hallelujah. He goes along and he heals the blind man. And he opens the eyes of the blind. And instead of a revival breaking out and everybody shouting and hooting and carrying on, they say, wait a minute, you did this on the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. You did this on the Sabbath day. And Jesus would continually deal with them and he would say, is it lawful for me to heal on the Sabbath day? Is that in your law? Is that okay for me to heal on the Sabbath day? Hallelujah. When Jesus comes along in Luke 4, bring me up Luke 4, verse 16. Jesus heals the man who's born blind. Long story short, he asks his parents, is this your son? Yeah, it's our son. Was he born blind? Yeah, he was. How then does he see? He said, I don't know. You're going to have to ask him. He experienced it. You're going to have to ask him. Hallelujah. For fear that they may be put out of their synagogue. Hallelujah. If your synagogue is more about their rules and regulations and their commandments of the Sabbath than they are about people being made whole, it's time to change churches. Hallelujah. It's time to find someplace else to go when it quits being about people and starts being about numbers and noses or regulations or, you know, whatever it is, anything outside of the need of the sheep Amen? Hallelujah. But they had lost their way. Jesus comes along in Luke chapter 4 and says, "And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." I mean, this is Isaiah prophesying. And you know, we read the book of Isaiah a lot of times, and we take part of it for the now, and we take part of it for the future, and we apply some of it to Jesus, and some of it the book of Isaiah is all about the prophetic coming of the Savior. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." Somebody in Isaiah's day thought Isaiah was a false prophet. Come on. When they said, "Behold, a virgin's going to see Isaiah," you didn't take your medicine today, did you? That's not how it works. How many know it's a very long time from the time the prophetic word is spoken to Isaiah until he sees the fulfillment of it in the day of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. I want to tell you something real important this morning. Just because you've not seen the fulfillment of every prophetic word that's ever been spoken over you, do not let go of it and don't give up on it. Hallelujah. If God's promised you something, if God's spoken a word over your life, hang on to it. Declare it. Hallelujah. Believe it. Receive it. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to" what? "To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Verse 19, "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord," or the year of Jubilee. Hallelujah. "And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now, I don't know about you, but it would sound to me like people start shouting all over the place. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closes the book of Isaiah. He sits down and says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that sounds like good news to me. The man we've been waiting on, the Messiah that's been prophesied, the one that is to come, has arrived, and he has been sent to me. He's been sent to all those who are hurting, broken, wounded, crippled, lame, whatever the situation was. I'm here. I have arrived. I have been sent. And this today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And he closes the book and he says to them, "This scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Verse 22. But that's not what happened. "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words," or the words of grace, "which proceeded out of his mouth." Hallelujah. The gracious words, or the words of grace, that proceeds out of the mouth of Jesus. I mean, no, the gracious words were all about binding up the brokenhearted, healing the disease, healing the hurting, restoring the captive, preaching the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah. "And they said, is not this Joseph's son? He said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow, a Gentile. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian, a Gentile. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Another way of saying there was a great feast, and many of you were bidden to come to the feast. But you didn't come. But you didn't come. He said, in the days of the famine, only the widow of Sidon received from God. Naaman the leper, captain of the Syrian host, wasn't even part of the camp of Israel at the time, received healing by dipping 7 times in the Jordan. What he's saying to them is, you will see the message and hear it, but you'll miss it. Because you, with your hardness of your heart, you'll not receive what was declared and what the opportunity was that was given. How many know Jesus came to bring healing? Hallelujah. Matthew 4, 23 through 25. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse disease and torments, those which were possessed with devils and those which were lunatic and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus came along healing all manner of diseases? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? You know any of these people up here on the wall that need some healing today? Hallelujah. Jesus came along to restore all of those things that were disqualified in the book of Leviticus. He said, if a man have a broken hand, he's disqualified from entering into the most holy place, from entering into the presence of God. Let's go to Matthew 12, 9 through 14. Hallelujah. Matthew 12, 9 through 14. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, or broken-handed, or dysfunctional hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? You know, we talk Wednesday night in Bible study. A lot of these people were plants that they actually would put there. And they said they would do this tempting him, seeing what he would do when he would see them in the midst of the congregation of the synagogue. And he would be moved. They knew that he would be moved with compassion, and he would want to heal them. And then they could find grounds to accuse him because he broke their Sabbath rule, or their day of Sabbath. Is it lawful to heal on Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? This is for the purpose. This has nothing to do with the man who has the withered hand. Now put yourself for just a moment in this place. We have Jesus over here, and we have the multitude of the synagogue, the scribes and Pharisees over here. And in between them, we have a man who has a withered hand. He's lost the strength. He's lost the ability in the hand. And the conversation is going back and forth between them, but no one's even dared to address the man with the withered hand. I'm guessing if he could have raised the hand, he'd have said, hey, pick me. I got the answer. I know what I want to say. Is it lawful for me to heal the man who has a withered hand on the Sabbath day? And they said this to accuse him. Next verse, 11. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? If you got a sheep who's in a pit on a Sabbath day, is it okay to get him out? If you got a sheep who's in a pit on a Sabbath day, is it okay to get him out? When we were reading about the man with dropsy on Wednesday night, it said, if you have a sheep or an ox or a son, another translation says, and he's in a pit on a Sabbath day, is it okay to get him out? Well, here's the answer to it. If it's your son, it's okay. If it's your sheep, it's okay. If it's your oxen, See, once sometimes we perceive it from a side that's different from what everybody else is perceiving. But I'm going to tell you right here and right now, if it's my son on the Sabbath day, I know that there is a Lord over the Sabbath. Jesus came to be my Sabbath rest. And if there's healing available, I'll take it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. If God wants to move, I'm up for it. If God wants to stretch out a hand, I'm up for it. Hallelujah. If there's a sheep that's in a pit, he needs to know that today is his Sabbath day. Hallelujah. He needs to know that this is his day to be set free. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, there's been a ministry that has been wounded or crippled. The hand of outreach hand has not been able to extend to the extent that it needs to. But I believe God is restoring the hand of a fivefold ministry that's not going to be withered, that's not going to be weak, that's not going to be withdrawn. But I believe it's the day when God wants to extend the hand of his people, where he begins to extend the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, and begins to extend the hand of healing to his people, because there's some sheep that are on a pit that need to be released and to know that this is their day, their Sabbath day. Jesus said, I come to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. I come to preach that it's your year of jubilee. How many know in the year of Jubilee, the prisoners set free, the slaves get to go, everybody that's in bondage, they get their freedom back. Hallelujah. How many know there's some sheep in a pit on a Sabbath day? Hallelujah. There's some sheep in a pit on the Sabbath day, and I believe God is about to heal and extend and release the hand. Amen. Hallelujah. The hand represents, you know, not necessarily, you know, scripture and verse for it, but if we look at the hand just as in a demonstration of the prophetic or the fivefold ministry of God. How many know it says that we were given ministry, gifts to the church. For what? For the perfecting of the ministry. Perfecting of the saints. Work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity. Hallelujah. How many know there needs to be some apostolic ministry restored that are in the business of rescuing sheep? Some prophetic word that's not about pointing the finger that points out your flaw, but that can point a finger and point you in a direction that speaks life into you and speaks release. Hallelujah. How many know old covenant prophets came and they'd say, do you come in peace or do you come in destruction? But how many know new covenant prophets begin to declare a finished work of the Lord and the power and the grace of the cross that's able to change your life? Hallelujah. The evangelistic ministry is an outreach that is one that's able to go out and to restore humanity, to go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in, that my house might be full. The pastor, the one that wears the ring finger, the one that has the artery that goes to the heart, the one that cares for the sheep, the ministry of love, caring for sheep, shepherding the sheep, the teacher who is the balance of the hand, the one that's small enough to get in your ear, the one that causes balance to come to everything. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to restore that ministry to the house of God. Not that it hasn't been functioning, but we need it to be functioning according to a true word, a finished product from a word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that comes from the throne of God. Revelation talks about it. It says, and I saw as it were a clear river that flowed from the throne of God and from the slain lamb and from a tree of life. Every word that proceeds out of the river of God should be from a throne of God, should be from the throne, from a slain lamb, and from a tree of life. Hallelujah. And so Jesus comes along and restores the hand of one that is broken on the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 13, he said, and if there's one that has a crooked back, humped back, you know where I'm going with this one. Behold, there, Leviticus says, a broke back, crooked back, or a slumped back. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Just for the record, 18 years is a long time also, if it's your back. And was bound together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Hallelujah. How many know he's not just talking? I believe this is a physical, literal miracle that Jesus heals this woman bowed over. But I believe she's more than just a woman he happens to come across today. I believe it's a picture of the house of Israel, and I believe it's a picture of the church and the day. And if we're not careful in this day, where we're more bowed over and seeing more of the earthly than we are of the heavenlies. How many know this woman probably did not wake up one morning bowed over? It was a gradual process of the earthly pulling her down to the ground. Hallelujah. How many of you, people that you are in contact with may not physically be bowed over or bent down like this, but I will tell you, if you could see beyond the natural, you could see a whole lot of people walking around with their backs bent and their face to the ground, where situations and circumstances and things spoken over them have so pushed them down and down and down that the scripture says, and she could in no wise lift herself up. Have you ever been in a situation in your life where you did not have the ability to lift yourself up? Hallelujah. Because of the spirit of infirmity. The scripture says of infirmity is a weakness of her human nature. Anybody in here ever had any weaknesses? Hallelujah. And as she day after day after day was bowed over and over and over, my guess is after a while nobody even noticed that she was in this condition, because what happens is we so gradually allow circumstances and problems and cares in our life to push us and push us down. And your situation, you have to, you know, evaluate what it is in your life that has the pressures that pushes you more to the earthly. Hallelujah. But when your vision becomes so earthly, it's hard to lift your eyes to the heavens and see anything different. Hallelujah. And he said, is it lawful to heal her on the Sabbath day? They said, there's 6 other days. Why pick the Sabbath day to heal her? Why not? Hallelujah. Why not? He said, if any one of you had an ass or an ox in a stall, wouldn't you loose them on the Sabbath day? Pastor Shirley has preached before, a stall is a man-made boundary. Hallelujah. How many know there's a whole lot of people living in man-made boundaries that need to be set free on the Sabbath day? They need to be loose. They need to have the ability to stand upright. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus caused us to stand upright at the cross? The word righteous means to be put in right standing, to stand you up right. Hallelujah. How many know we were stood upright through the power of the cross? And said she was in no way able to lift herself up. But Jesus looked at them and said, this is a daughter of Abraham. She has every right to be made whole. I know sometimes you got to identify with who you are and realize, I am a daughter of Abraham. I am the seed of Abraham. I am a king's kid. I am a king and priest unto God. I have the right to be made whole. I have the right to stand upright. I have the right to walk as any other man or woman could walk. I have rights in the synagogue. I have rights to come and worship. I have rights to be whole. I have rights to be healed. I have rights to a holy place. I have rights to a most holy place. And I no longer am going to allow myself to be bowed over and bent down and held down by man's opinion or man's man-made boundaries. But I'm going to grab a hold of the man and says, woman, you are loosed from the spirit of infirmity. You are loosed from the weaknesses of your own human nature. How many know the most crippling things in our lives generally are not the broken bones or the illnesses that we have? They're the brokenness of our mind. The things that we allow to so push us down and weigh us down, those are the things that are the biggest infirmities that we struggle with. Hallelujah. See, most of the time, you can take an Advil for the aches and pains you got. But when it comes to matters of the heart or matters of the mind, if you've ever been there, you understand what I'm talking about. Every now and then, you need that switch on the back of your head where you just turn it off and say, I cannot reevaluate this anymore. I can't figure it out. I can't fix it. I can't stress over it. I can't worry about it anymore. I'm tired of it pushing me to the ground. I'm tired of living this. I want to stand upright. I want to take a deep breath for a change. I want to see what the stars look like. I want to see what the heavens have in store. I want to look around. I want to have life again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I dare say there's been a church that has had the hand of oppression on it that has been pushed and pushed, and we have not realized that we are the daughter and the seed of Abraham, and we have every right to stand upright before Him. He put me in right standing. Hallelujah. I do not have to be bowed over. And I am not disqualified. Hallelujah. I am not cast out. I am not forbidden from entering into His presence. I'm not ashamed to come before Him with my blemish or my weakness. I'm not ashamed because He's touched. I have a high priest who's touched with the feelings of my infirmities, and is in no wise was He led astray or He was tempted, but He was not. He was without sin. I can touch Him, and my uncleanness don't make Him unclean, but when I touch Him, His virtue makes me every whit whole, and I do not have to live in my disabilities or being disqualified or living outside of a covenant that was the Levitical priesthood. Hallelujah. I live under a Melchizedek priesthood that's all about bread and wine. It's all about restoring what the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the locust have devoured. Jesus came along to systematically restore everything that the Levitical priesthood said you can't have and you can't enter in. Hallelujah. I came in today to enter into a most holy place without inspection from anybody. If you're here today and you're feeling disqualified, you're living in your own shame and condemnation, you came to a place today that you don't have to be under my inspection. Nobody in this house is going to point fingers or inspect you. You've been qualified by a priesthood that's way greater than anything that we know or have seen. We have the ability to approach Him. And I will tell you, when you come to the King's table, He's got healing on it. He's got bread and wine. He can make the crooked things straight. He can make the withered things have life. He can extend His abilities to you. And for the first time, you don't have your hands all drawn up and withered. You can reach them up and say, I can lift this hand without wrath, and I can lift this hand without doubt, and I can walk in fullness and wholeness and healing and life. And life more abundant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus is on your team. He's on your team. Under the old covenant, He gave them a picture. When anybody brought a lamb for sacrifice or brought any animal for sacrifice, the priesthood, Monty is the guy who sinned. I'm the priest. Come here, Brina, you can be the lamb. That makes Monty the sinner. That makes me the priest. That wouldn't have worked under Old Covenant either. As I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. That was a blemish in the Levitical priesthood. How many know Monty's sin? He brought the animal for sacrifice. I'm the priest. It is my place, my obligation to inspect her, to make sure there is no blemish in this sacrifice. No scabs, no broken bones, no broken bones, no nothing. There cannot be anything wrong with this sacrifice. But never at any time do I stand Monty up and inspect him. Not at any time do I ever stand Monty up and inspect him. I only ever inspect the lamb. You guys have seen Lynn do this before. I only ever inspect the lamb. I want to tell you today that when you come boldly before him, you are never the one inspected. Only your lamb of sacrifice is inspected. And guess what? The scripture said he was a lamb who was led to the slaughter without blemish, without fault. He was blameless. And yet he opened not his mouth when he could have spoken. He said to Peter, Peter, put away your sword. Don't you know that I have the power right now to have 12 legions of angels at my disposal to stop this? But not my will, but yours be done. How many know when he could have opened his mouth, he did not. He was my perfect lamb of sacrifice. And the only thing that's ever inspected now is the sacrifice. The sinner was not under evaluation. But because the sinner would put his hands on the lamb and he would transfer his sins to that lamb. How many know on the cross of Calvary, your sins were transferred? He said, if I be lifted up, I'll reach out and I will draw all men unto me. Your sins were transferred to this lamb and he took them to the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. That's good news this morning. We had a lamb without blemish. It's not about my blemishes anymore. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor Lisa, well, I got some things going on in my life. You're in a good place. All you got to do is find the lamb. All you got to do is identify with the lamb. You can confess your sins to the lamb. He said, we can confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive. Are there times when I got to go back and say, Lord, I need your mercy. Lord, I need your grace. Lord, I need your forgiveness. Lord, I need your help every day of my life. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful that when I do, I have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus. Says, yep, she's guilty as charged, but I got it covered. I already paid the price. I already paid the sacrifice. Hallelujah. All she has to do is receive my forgiveness, receive my mercy, receive my grace. Hallelujah. You once were disqualified, but now you have been qualified. Not just qualified, you have been anointed. You have been sent. Hallelujah, because there's some oxes and some asses and some sheep that are in a ditch on a Sabbath day, and they need somebody to loose those man-made boundaries and set them free. They need somebody to say, there's help for you, because every day is the Sabbath day with Jesus. Every day is a day of rest and Sabbath with Jesus. Hallelujah. He became my Sabbath rest. If he said, if you're going to enter into my rest, you're going to have to what? Cease from your own labors. Hallelujah. Can you say amen, Georgia? Hallelujah. Can you say amen? You're going to have to cease from your own labors. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you receive from him this morning? Hallelujah. You've been qualified. And you've been invited to come into the most holy place. Hallelujah. In the very presence of God. Without shame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Without shame and no reproach. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good news this morning. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning while the children are getting ready to come in.